This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine. Macca, who are we speaking to next?
Our next guest is Alistair Laurie. Alistair is an advocate for our community and an activist, and I'm sure, Alistair, you must have, well, not RSI, I call it kangaroo paw, all the typing that you've done on Twitter and the information you've imparted to people about the religious discrimination bill in every single way, what it means, what the impacts are, what's behind it. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's been a tiring week or month or 3 years of this process, in fact.
It has.
Yes, many of us haven't slept during the week because some of us in particular stayed up all night and watched the entire debate on TV, Macca.
Yeah.
Good morning, Alistair. Great to have you on the airwaves.
It's mind-numbing, Alistair, isn't it, when you watch Parliament?
Sometimes it's not particularly edifying.
So, Alistair, I'm interested, you know, and as I said to listeners during the breakfast show and also earlier, if you didn't know anything about this bill, or even if you think you did, I've referred people to have a look at your tweets because your explanation in, let's say, layman's terms, has been really important for people to understand the bill. How do you feel at the end of this week where the government has said, okay, we're not going to take it to the Senate? How do you feel this has all played out? What are your, you know, how does it feel to you?
So right now, I think as I suggested before, I feel exhausted because so much energy, not just from the LGBT community, but from across a range of other civil society organisations, has had to be spent fighting against this damaging bill. I feel relieved that legislation which promoted rather than prohibited discrimination has, at least for the time being, been defeated or put on hold for the foreseeable future. But above all, I feel frustrated. I feel frustrated that at the end of this week, LGBT kids in religious schools are no better off than they were at the start of the week. 1,220 days since Prime Minister Morrison first promised to protect them. And even more so frustrated that trans kids and gender diverse kids were thrown under the bus in this debate with the amendment which sought to exclude them from even the minimal protections against expulsion.
Who was driving that bus they were thrown under, Alistair?
The amendments came from the Prime Minister and the Attorney General, so I guess the finger of blame goes in that direction. I, from my own perspective, I don't understand how you could morally or legally try to do that. This is something that has been done effectively in Tasmania and and the ACT and Queensland and the Northern Territory. It's not hard. So their excuses for not doing it don't stand up to any scrutiny. But we should also point out that they weren't even going to protect lesbian, gay and bisexual students properly either, because it was only a ban on expulsion, which not only left all other forms of discrimination open to religious schools, but would have been undermined because a religious school would have brought a parent in and said, we'll ask you to remove your child, and if you don't, we can lawfully mistreat them in any other way that we choose, as long as we don't expel them. What parent is not going to withdraw their child in that circumstance?
Alistair, I know the question's already been asked, but I'd like to go back to it. What do you think motivated the Prime Minister and the Attorney General to actually take this course of action. You know, they may be responsible for it, but what motivated them? What was behind that? What's your analysis?
Again, I don't know that I can see into the mind of the Prime Minister or Attorney General, but we can see the response. We can see the response from groups like the Australian Christian Lobby on Thursday morning, after the bill had passed the House of Representatives with that amendment to the Sex Discrimination Act to protect LGBT students, that the Australian Christian Lobby said that they would withdraw their support from the bill entirely. Discriminating against trans and gender diverse kids in particular was more important to them than all of the other special privileges that this legislation would have granted religious organisations. So from their own side of politics, one of the key lobbying forces behind the bill in general was telling them actually protecting trans kids is a deal breaker for them.
I know that Michaela Cash gave one of the reasons that, oh, we need to send this off, you know, to be investigated. You know, it's like trans kids all of a sudden have appeared in schools. They've never been there before. Schools have never dealt with it. And she used the argument of uniforms and toilets. I mean, for God's sake. You know, seriously. Do they think we're stupid? Do they think people don't see through this?
I think the word I used to describe those arguments during the week was nonsense. Nonsense because, as I said before, multiple jurisdictions have been protecting trans and gender diverse kids for decades, yeah, and religious schools and single-sex schools continue to exist in those jurisdictions. But it's also nonsense because they've had 3.5 years to do this. This is their promise, their own promise from 2018 that they have not acted on. They can't then turn around and say it's complicated or we don't like the drafting that the opposition and Rebecca Sharkey came up with when they haven't done the work themselves.
So the ACL, otherwise known as the Australian Cruelty Lobby, they basically said, oh, well, you need to bend this bill because we can't accept an amendment that actually protects trans kids. That to me was... I can't say on air, Alistair, what I actually think of it.
I mean, on a personal level, obviously, my heart during the week was with trans and gender diverse kids, trans and gender diverse adults, but also the families of those children, because not only were they the subject of this debate and the target of this debate, but they ended up with no protection,
yeah,
because of organisations advocating that view.
And I think, you know, look, the reality is this has been a tough week, and, you know, we've got a lot of emails here. One that says, Katie Allen is a Victorian Liberal. She crossed the floor to protect us. She's in a marginal seat, risk to her political career. Don't forget the Victorian Liberal government decriminalised homosexuality in Victoria. Yeah, back in the 70s they did that. I wouldn't like to look at their recent history, just to be honest. Those members that crossed the floor, Alistair, that is a pretty gutsy act in a parliament, isn't it, to cross the floor?
Absolutely. I think that for Trent Zimmerman and Bridget Archer and Dave Sharma and, yep, Fiona Martin and Katie Allen, they did not just what was right in substance to protect trans children and also to make sure that the protections for all LGBT students weren't just against expulsion but throughout their education. But in fact, they were standing up for the government's own promise from 2018.
Yes.
It's the rest of the government who were voting against their own promise.
Including a number of MPs who in fact are members of our very own communities as well. Alistair, just another perspective here. I'm interested in, and I know that your focus is very much on the policy issue rather than the politics of it, but I'm interested in your perspective of Labor's performance in this. What are your reflections on the way in which Labor handled this?
So obviously the amendments that Labor introduced into Parliament on the Wednesday addressed some of the problems that the bill contained. So, for example, protecting LGBT students in religious schools, and removing most of the harm from the statement of belief provision, because it removed the override of other Commonwealth, state and territory anti-discrimination laws in that area. I think we should also remember that those amendments weren't enough. Even if all of the Labor amendments were passed, and they weren't, it would not have redeemed what was a flawed bill. So, for example, LGBT teachers would have remained subject to discrimination. The override of state and territory protections for teachers in Victoria, Queensland, Tasmania and the ACT remained, and the extensive and excessive religious exceptions to religious organisations remained in the bill too. And the primary target of those exceptions were in fact Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist and agnostic workers in religious hospitals, housing, aged care and disability services. So yes, they took some positive steps, but no, that was not going to be enough to put this legislation into a position where I thought it should be passed.
Alistair, just one final comment that I'm interested in from your perspective. What do you think having this debate says about where we are as a nation, as Australians? What does this say about us?
I think that the debate says that our policy is not working, our policy process is not working, particularly when there are two things that most people agree with. First, that people of faith, and especially minority faith, should be protected against discrimination on the basis of who they are. Second, most Australians agree that LGBT students and teachers should also be protected on the basis of who they are. Neither of those things have happened because we ended up with legislation that was in fact a religious freedom bill in disguise and was more concerned with empowering discrimination by religious organisations against others. So that policy process, for whatever reason, has broken down and it's let down most Australians as a result.
It does actually draw attention to what is missing in our policy landscape, and that is our human rights charter, isn't it?
I think a human rights charter is essential. I also think that a standard religious discrimination bill would be necessary, particularly given New South Wales and South Australia don't have protections for religious belief, but we should be following the lead of the other states and territories which have protected religious belief effectively without these kinds of extraordinary provisions that the government was trying to introduce.
I think one of the interesting things is I'm going to post it on Twitter this afternoon, but we had a discussion with Tim Wilson a few years ago when this bill first was being talked about. And he said on air that my community, his community, had nothing to fear from this bill. That's what he said. We had nothing to fear. So I'll repost it and people can listen to it and see whether or not he was right. Well, the verdict is he wasn't right. We do have something to fear.
Wow. We're getting a lot of feedback here, Macca. The screen is completely full. A very strong theme of anger is coming through our feedback, I think. People are very upset about this and are also very upset about the way in which young people, children, have been politicised in this debate. Alistair, we are out of time. We do need to move on, unfortunately. We thank you again for coming on the show this morning, and we look forward to having many more conversations with you about a whole range of policy issues as they emerge, as we lead into the federal election. Enjoy
Thank
the rest
you
of your day.
Me.
Thank you very much.
You too.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.